I'd say truly it is good to be back in God's house this morning, and you continue to pray for this service, and that God's will be done. And I know that Daniel will be glad to be back with you. And, you know, I've got an old Bible that's just about half wore out, and Daniel keeps telling me, he said, "Dad, it's about time to get a new Bible," which I do have a one at the house, but, you know, I feel comfortable with this old Bible. I've preached a lot of messages out of it, got it marked, and you know, the cover's tearing off of it and things like that, but still, it's the Word of God. And so you just pray this morning. I remember the first time that I stood behind this pulpit and, you know, made out of glass, and I said, you know, I made a statement, you know, my knees, you can see my knees are shaking, and that might not be a good thing. But, you know, I was talking to my neighbor the other day. We'll get into the message in just a moment, and we was just talking yesterday, and he said that his son had went to a youth thing, and said he got up and spoke to about 1,500 people, and his dad asked him a question. Said he said, "Didn't you ever get nervous while you stood up there?" And he looked at his dad and he smiled. And he said, "No, I didn't." He said, "Because if you know what you're talking about, then it's just gonna come out." And you know, when God called me to preach, I was a very nervous person, and I still am. There's a lot of things that I can't do. And I told him, I said, "You know, I just don't see how in the world that I could ever stand behind a pulpit and begin to preach as nervous that I am, and how that I get sick a lot of times and things like that. But when God called me to preach, and when I stand behind this desk, God says that he give me the words to speak. And when you know what you're talking about, then I tell you, God will take care of the rest." And so you continue to pray this morning. We want to look at salvation's plan this morning, but we're going to look over in Joshua chapter 2, and you continue to pray this morning that God's will be done. We're looking at a very familiar scripture, a very familiar story as we look at Rahab the harlot. But we want to look at salvation and how that we can see salvation came into her life and how that it can come into your life here this morning. And as we look here in chapter 2 and verse 1, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even into Jericho.' And they went and came into the harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men hither in the night of the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth these men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country.'" And so as we continue to look here, we want to look at Rahab the harlot and her life story. And, you know, I can compare my story to her life. And if you're here and you've been saved, I believe that you can compare the same story to your life here this morning. So you continue to pray as we look at this story. As we begin to lay just a little background, we find that as we look at Jericho, we find that it was a walled city. We find that the walls was at least 12 feet thick. They were 30 feet tall. And we can find that there was a lot of houses on top of these walls, and this was where that Rahab had lived. And we find that they were about to be attacked. Their city was about to be destroyed. And I can imagine these people sitting behind these walls and how that they thought, there's nothing can hurt us, nothing can penetrate these big, thick walls. But I tell you, the hand of God destroyed it all within just a few minutes when the walls came tumbling down. But as we begin to look at this, we begin to find that Rahab the harlot, let's begin to look now. First of all, we find that she was a sinner. And then let's look over in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 20. And you continue to pray as we look here in chapter 7 and verse 20. "For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." So we find that Rahab the harlot, she was a sinner. And it said that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if you're here this morning, maybe a young person, maybe an older person, and you've never been saved, I'm going to tell you, the Bible said to Nicodemus, it said, you must be born again. And so we find that here she was a sinner. And when I look at a harlot, a lot of times we look around and we'll pass judgment. We'll see somebody like that. Oh, they're just a low-life sinner. They're somebody that we don't want to associate with. And then we find maybe the drunkard or the dope addict, and we say, you know, these people are just so low life, I don't want to have nothing to do with them. But I was in the same shoe. I was in the same boat. I was a sinner saved by the grace of God. And I was just a young boy. But I didn't get out and do a lot of things. but I was lost and undone, and I was headed to a place called hell. And you might say this is not a very popular message this morning, but there's people dying and going to hell this morning while we sit around and not doing nothing. But I think that it's time, and it's high time, that the church wakes up out of their sleep and begin to get out in the field and begin to work the harvest. And there's a harvest that's ready. There's people here this morning, I believe, that needs to be born again into the family of God. There might be an older person, and you say, well, as we look at Rahab the harlot, she was a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. And so we find that here, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life. And so we find that, yes, she was a sinner. And we find that there's people today here that says, well, I've never really drunk a lot. I don't do dope, and I don't do all of these bad things. But the Bible says, for the by one man, from his unrighteous deeds, and from that fall of Adam and Eve, it says, all have become sinners. We all have come short of the glory of God. Because we're born into this world, we are a sinner. You might not do a whole lot of bad things, but the Bible says if you've not accepted him through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that you're going to die and go to a place such called hell. And I'm not trying to scare people this morning, but, you know, it's the fact that if you do not accept him, you're headed to a Christless hell. And so we find that you might be a good person, you might be in church, you may have grown up in church all of your life, but the Bible says unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you're in no wise what? Enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so you see, these was religious people. These was people that was very religious. They were doing a lot of things, a lot of work in the church. But yet, it says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of what they were doing, you'll in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Sin is still sin today. You're born into a world of sin. And unless you accept him as your personal Savior, you'll in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, today, a lot of people's got it all wrong. You know, they'll look into the scriptures and they say, well, this used to be sin. This used to be a sin, but it's not sin anymore. I stood in churches and in Sunday school classes, and they was talking about drinking and how we need to legalize it and all of that. And I stood up and I said, no, we don't need to do this because the Bible says that it's wrong. But then even in the United States, the Supreme Court, they can say and make it a law that sin is all right. But brethren, before the Supreme Court, before the presidents of the United States, before the United States ever become a nation, the Word of God is still true. And the Word of God says sin is sin. And I know that we have to abide by the laws of the land, but I don't have to partake of the sinful things in the nations today. And so as we look here, yes, you might be a good person. You might be a pretty good person. But if you've never accepted him as your personal Savior, you're just like Rahab the harlot. You're just like I was. I was headed to a place called hell, but I had to kneel down and I had to ask God to come into my heart and my life, because I knew that if I'd have died at a young age, that I'd have went to a place called hell. And I was just as guilty as Rahab the harlot. And if you're here this morning and you're saying, yes, I've been in church all my life, you still need to make a change this morning. Because as he said to Nicodemus, it doesn't matter how religious that you are. Religion will send people to hell. There's a lot of people that's got religion. But brethren, we need salvation down in our heart this morning. And that's the only way that you'll ever make it into heaven. So Rahab the harlot, you continue to pray. As we look at her life, you say this is very hard this morning, but brethren, it's the Word of God. And I've been told that when I asked God, I said, God, you give me the strength. I'll preach whatever it is that you have me to preach, and I'll stand no matter what. And it doesn't matter. We got to proclaim the Word of God. And then we find that she lived in a condemned city. We find that here that Jericho was about to fall. And let's look here in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Verses 1 through 5, and you continue to pray as we look here in chapter 7 of Deuteronomy. It says, when the Lord God shall bring thee into the land where thou goest and possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Gezrites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater than mightier than thee. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shall not give unto thy son, nor his daughter shall thou take for thy son. So we find that she lived in a condemned city. In just a few moments, we'll look over in John chapter 3 and verse 16 through 19. But as we look here, we find that at least 400 years earlier, God had already said that this city, these people, these nations was going to fall, and they lived in a condemned city. And so I find that today, in the life that you and I live in, we still here in the United States, in this world around, we live in a condemned world. There's going to come a time that Christ is going to set out on the clouds of glory, and he's going to say, come up hither, and the church is going to be raptured out. And then God's judgment's going to fall upon the face of this earth. This whole world has been condemned. It's going to be destroyed. And we can find that yet there's still people just like the city of Jericho. They stood behind those walls, and they still continued doing the very same things that they'd done day in and day out. They knew that they was about to face their judgment, but yet they said, I don't care. I'm going to live. And, you know, today, our young people, we need to listen. Because I tell you, one day, God's going to pour out his judgment upon the face of this earth. And even us as older folks, we're going to look for the judgment to come. But the Bible says we will be taken home to be with him. And so we find that, yes, she lived in a condemned city that was about to be destroyed. But she had to make a decision in her life. And you too must make a decision this morning. What will you do? Will you reject the darling Son of God that stood upon that old rugged cross and he died for our sins, and there he suffered all those persecutions so that you might have life and have it more abundantly? But let's look over in John chapter 3, verses 16 through 19, and we continue to look into the scripture, and we find that, yes, she lived in a condemned city. But as we look here in John chapter 3, and it's very familiar scripture, a lot of us knows it by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God what? Sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He come to seek and to save that which was lost. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is what? Is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And here we can find that Jericho, this great city, was an evil city. But they stood behind those fortified walls. Nothing can harm us. Nothing can penetrate these walls. But yet they lived in a condemned city. And you today are living in a condemned world. We may go out, you know, the pleasures of sin is just for a season. You may say, I'm enjoying my life right now. I remember when I was younger, you know, I kind of enjoyed going out and doing things. But I tell you, the pleasures of sin is just for a season. This whole world is going to fall. But I tell you, the Word of God will last forever. So we need to look that she lived in this condemned city. And you can find that Jericho was destroyed just like it had been promised. Here we can find that the walls began to fall down and it was destroyed. So she lived in this condemned city. And then as we continue to move on, then we find over in Joshua chapter 2, we find that she was living in a grace period. And let's look here in verse 10 as we continue to look into the scripture. And let's look in verse 10. Here it says, for we have heard how that the Lord had dried up the water of the Red Sea and for you. And then it says, when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the kings of the Amorites, and that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. Notice what she said. So we have heard how the Lord had dried up the water of the Red Sea. We've heard of your departure from Egypt. We know that you were headed this way. And so we find that there was a grace period that she was living in. And we find that from this time that they had crossed the Red Sea, from the time that they began their journey toward Jericho, we find that there was around 38 to 40 years that had passed during the time that they were headed in that direction. We find that grace God's grace, His marvelous grace. And she was living in a grace period. They had 40 years to repent of their sins. They had ample time to fall on their knees and say, God, forgive us. We have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But yet they stood behind and said, no, we're well protected behind these walls. Nothing's going to happen to us. But God's grace allowed ample time for them to repent of their sins. And you're living in God's grace period right now because you have ample time to repent of your sins. I'm saying here this morning, if you're here and you've never been born again, you need to take advantage of God's grace because judgment will surely come. Just as judgment came to Jericho and those walls began to fall and those people was utterly destroyed, God's grace is going to run out and then His judgment's going to fall. And you say, can you prove this? Well, it's just the same as Noah. The Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And we find that they was given in marriage, they was drinking, doing a lot of ungodly things. But God said, I'm going to destroy this whole world by flood. He said, Noah, I want you to build an ark, and I want you to do it to my specifications. And Noah began to work on that ark. But during the time that Noah was working, that was a grace period. These people could have repented of their sins, but I could imagine a crowd gathered together, and they began to laugh at Noah, and Noah was hammering and working on the ark, and how that he began to say, you know, God is going to send this flood. He's going to send judgment upon the face of this earth. And I can imagine these people began to laugh and mock and said, it's never rained before. Nothing's bad's going to happen. You just go ahead and make a fool out of yourself. You know, that's what a people says about me a lot of times. Maybe the way I preach. Why are you up there making a fool out of yourself? Because I tell you, I love people, and I want to see them born again into the family of God. I want to see people not die and go to hell. And that's why that I spend my time trying to do what I do. But God's grace is going to end up, and it's going to run out one of these days. And so finally, they put on the last board on that old ark, and God said, time is out. Grace period's over with. He says, what did He say? He said, come in. So you see, God was already inside that ark. He said, come on inside. He said, I'm in here. We're going to be safe. We're going to be sheltered through this storm that's coming. And so Noah and his family and the animals gathered in, and that one door that was there, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. And so you have to come through that door if you want to be born again, if you want to go into the heaven, and you want to be able to be safe from the storm that's coming. You too can come inside safely through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God shut that door, and the floods came, and grace ended, and the people were destroyed. Judgment was coming. You see, there's a grace period. God's grace means unmerited favor. You can find grace in God today, but time is going to run out. And so as we continue to look, then not only was it that, but then we find that she heard the word. And as we continue to look here, let's look in verse 11, and let's look at her testimony, how that she heard the word. Here in verse 11, it said, and as soon as we have heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For God, your God, He is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. So we can find that here that she heard the word. So we can find that here that she had a testimony. I know that He's God of heaven, and He's also God of this world below. And so what a testimony. And you know, we're begotten by the word of God. The Bible says that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God because it is the power of God unto salvation. And so you see, I'm not ashamed of the gospel today. It still takes the word of God. We need to hear the word. And the Bible says that the word of God is what? Is sharper than a two-edged sword. And so we can find that it'll cut out that old sin in my heart. It'll cut out that sin in your heart. And it'll make you a new person. But we've begotten by the word. And it says that in the beginning was the word. And the word was made flesh. And came and dwelt among us. It still takes the word of God. There's a lot of people today. They want to offer this. they want to offer these other things for our churches today. But we need to not forget to offer them the Word of God. The Word of God is very important in your life and in my life today. When I've got problems, and I know that a lot of you today has a lot of problems in your life, and there's a lot of times that you're just beaten down below the bad path, and it just seems like the devil's just stomping you and rubbing you into the ground. But, brethren, you can take His Word, and the Bible says to cast your cares upon Him because He careth for you. I've carried that promise with me whenever I get down and out, when I feel like there's nothing else that I can do. All I have to do is get on my knees, and then I put my cares upon Him because I know He loves me. And so as we continue to look here, you continue to pray as we see here, as we move on this morning, we find that here the Bible says that it's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And so as we continue to look here, we find that, as I said, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. But let's continue to move on. We got several things that we want to look at. And then as we continue to look here, she believed the Word of God. And so we find that here that she began to act out what she was doing. She said, yes, I believe. I know that He's God and Lord of lords and King of kings. But then as we continue, let's look over in Hebrews chapter 11. And we know that this is the faith chapter. And you continue to read here as we look in verse 30 and 31. It says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down, and they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them, and believed not. But when she had received the spies with faith, with peace. Notice what it says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them. Why? Because she believed. She believed that she was going to be saved during this time that they come in to face this judgment. She knew that everything was going to be all right, and she stepped out on faith, and so she believed. And you know, today the Bible says that it's by grace through faith are you saved. And so you see here this morning, it's simple enough to get saved this morning. The Holy Spirit has to deal with you, but it's by grace through faith. She believed. I'll just tell you a very important story. There was a Philippian jailer. He had Paul and Silas was thrown in jail. They were beaten. They were hurting. They were in pain. And it said that they were chained up, and they was all locked up in prison. And what were they doing? I tell you what I'd have been doing if somebody had beat me. You know, there's a lot of times my back hurts, and, you know, I go home, and I say, man, my back's hurting, and I'm just a wimp, and I sit down and, you know, want my wife to feel sorry for me and all of this kind of stuff. But I tell you what, it was Paul and Silas been beaten, and they were in pain and agony. But what did it say they was doing at midnight? It said that they were singing praises to God. They were glorifying Him for what He has already done in their life. Oh, yes, they had a lot of stripes on their back. They were in pain, but yet they were still glorifying God. And I tell you, that's what we as Christians need to do today, is glorify God. We don't have to wimp out and say, oh, man, I'm just so pitiful. I'm just so bad. But, brethren, I tell you, I want to point people to God. I want to glorify Him for what He has done for my life and what He can do for your life here this morning. And so as we find here this Philippian jailer, it said they were singing praises. And it says maybe things got quiet just for just a few seconds before the earth began to quake. Maybe they were singing Silent Night, Holy Night. And, you know, things kind of got quiet there. But then the earth began to quake. And it said the doors were opened up and they were released. And the Philippian jailer started to take his life. But Paul and Silas said, don't do that. Everything's going to be all right. You just go ahead and live. Don't take your own life, because we're all here. They were in charge of these people. If they had left, then he would have been executed anyway. But so they began to look at him. And this Philippian jailer says, I know that you're of God. I heard you singing praises. I saw your life that you lived. I seen what you was doing. And he says, what must I do to be saved? It says, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, thou shalt be saved. And it says, he and his family was brought to the Lord that night because they believed upon Him. They didn't have to worry about facing judgment. They didn't have to worry about running out on God's grace period, because they accepted Him and they believed. And so you say today, if you're here and you've never been saved, I believe there's someone here this morning that needs to come. They need to accept God as their personal Savior. I'm no psychic. I'm no nothing like that. But I know that God's word will not go out void. And I believe that there's someone here that needs to accept God as their personal Savior this morning before time runs out. You know, I'm already 60 years old. My time is swiftly running out. And brethren, if God tarries his coming, there'll be one day I'll go by the grave. But you know, there's the grave are full of little babies. The graves are full of teenagers. The graves are full of older folks. And I tell you, your time is swiftly running out. But here we find that they believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, over in Romans chapter 6, the plan of salvation is very simple. It says, first of all, that you need to know that you're a sinner. And this morning, you've already seen that by the disobedience of one, everyone has become a sinner. And there's only one way that you can be saved, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. So you need to know that you're a sinner. And then after you realize that, the Bible says that you are to confess your sins before him. And he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So we find that here, that you first of all know that you're a sinner. And then when you accept him, then it says, reckon yourselves dead to sin. What does that word reckon mean? It means to claim that victory, to claim that you died out to sin, and to know that your name has been recorded into the Lamb's Book of Life. But then after you reckon yourself and you believe and you claim that, then what does it say that you're to do? It says to yield your body to the Lord, to yield it as a temple to him, and to do what he would have you to do. So as we find here, we find that this is the plan of salvation. We must be born again. And so as we continue to move on, then we continue to look that here, that she proved her faith by works. Over in James chapter 2 and verse 25, let's look here and see what it says. It mentions Rahab's name. It says, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. Here we find that here that it says was not Rahab justified by her works. And so you see, when you get saved, when you get born again, the Bible says that it's not of works lest any man should boast. And I realize that. I'm not saved by doing works. The scribes and the Pharisees, they done a lot of works. And the Bible doesn't contradict itself. But when you're saved and you're born again into the family of God, you're going to be justified by the works that you do. I'll go out and I begin to do the work for the Lord. I have a zeal. I remember when I got saved, the first thing I wanted to do was go tell my friends what the Lord had done for me. And I began to share the gospel just at a very young age, and begin to tell these people that God can make a difference in their lives if they would just do it. So you see, we will be justified by our works, and we'll begin to do the things that God would have us to do. But then we're going to be closing here in just a few moments, and you continue to pray. But then we find that here, that she was justified, but then she become a soul winner. The Bible says that he that winneth souls is wise. We find that here, that she began to say to the spies, she said, what about my family? Said, I'd like to see them safe, and I would like to see no harm come to them. And she began to say, I want my family to be saved. And so you see, she was worried about her family. She was a soul winner. And so they said, if you'll take them and bring them inside your house, they'll be safe also. And I could imagine that she went to her mom and maybe to her family and said, look, you know, the Lord is coming. They're going to bring judgment upon the face of this earth. It's going to be destroyed here at Jericho. The walls are going to come tumbling down, and everything's going to happen. But if you'll just come with me, you'll be safe, and everything's going to be all right. Joshua said that he would take care of us, and everything's going to be fine. You'll not be harmed. You'll not be put to death or anything if you'll just come inside. And so I can imagine they said, all right, we believe we're going to come. And just the same way as Joshua, as Rahab put her trust and faith in Joshua, the Lord is saying the same thing. He's saying, if you'll just come inside and you get sheltered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be all right. and you're going to be safe, and nothing bad's going to happen to you. And so as we see here, yes, there was safety. And so she came, and she was safe there as she began her soul winning. But then as we continue to move on, very quickly, we find that she was delivered through judgment, from the judgment to come. And what happened? How was she delivered from the judgment to come? Well, we find that here, we find that they was told that if you'll just hang this scarlet thread out your window, when we come and attack the city, and when we see that scarlet thread, everything's going to be all right. But I want you to do something. I want you to have all of your family, and I want you to come inside your house, and you're going to be saved. And when we see that scarlet thread, we'll know that you're not to be touched and you're not to be harmed. The scarlet thread is a picture and a type of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that if we'll come through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we'll come and accept him, and we come and accept that sacrifice, then we know that we can be born again and that we're going to escape hell. And we can see that here there was the same thing. We find that the Bible says that when Joshua and his men came and they marched around that city of Jericho, we find that the city, the walls began to fall down. And if you'll just mention, notice that a lot of the houses was on top of the walls and stuff. And how this happened, I don't know. But I know God's grace is sufficient. I know God's grace is real, because when the walls came tumbling down, it said that Joshua sent some men in there. And to that house that they was in, it was untouched. And it had the protection of that scarlet thread. We have the protection of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Satan cannot harm me. He cannot touch me, because I'm covered beneath the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that room evidently stood when everything else fell down. When everything else come tumbling down, that shows you the power of God and what he can do. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never been saved, but the power of God can touch your heart. The power of God can touch you if you'll just only accept him as your personal Savior. And so we find that here. It said that Joshua sent the men in and led them out. And then after he led them out, after the walls of King tumbled down, it said they burnt the city and they burnt everything else up in there. And everybody had met destruction, but here she had been delivered. We too can be delivered from the place called hell if we only look and put our trust in God. But then we find that after all of this, after all that had happened to Rahab the harlot, something great happened to her. She went to a wedding. And you can look over in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5. And we find that Christ came through this lineage here. And as you look here, and Simon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. And so you can continue on down through the lineage. But here we find that Rahab had a son called Boaz. And you know the story of the book of Ruth, a great story. And I've done a lot of Bible studies on the book of Ruth and how that it shows a lot of great things. And we call it the romance of redemption. You can see the blood being applied there in the book of Ruth. But here we find that Rahab went to a wedding. Her son Boaz was about to be married to Ruth. Oh, what an excitement time when your son is getting married. And I remember when my children was getting married and how that it just thrilled me and how that it just excited me. She was going to a wedding. But I tell you, there's going to be a time that you and I, when you get born again into the family of God, we're going to a wedding. Oh, in Revelation, let's just close with this verse here. We're going to a wedding just like Rahab went. We're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. But look over in Revelations, and you continue to pray as we look here. Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 through 9. And then we'll close with this scripture here. We find here, it says, "Let us be glad and rejoice. Give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife was made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." So you see, we find that she started out a sinner and ended up going to a marvelous wedding. A change took place in her life. She could have died there in that city, but she stepped out on faith, and she believed that her life was going to be changed, and she ended up going to a wedding. You're here this morning. God can make a change just like he did in Rahab's life, in your life. God will make a great change in your life. But you see, just as I had to step out on faith, I had to kneel down and ask God to forgive me and to forgive me of my sins. You've got to do the same thing. Because, see, God doesn't come down with a big battle axe and hit me over the head and say, if you don't do this, you know, it's just going to be bad. He gives you free choice. You can say, yes, I want to serve God. Yes, I want to ask him into my heart and my life. I want to ask forgiveness for my sins. Or you can say, I'm going to be my own person. I'm going to leave this church this morning. I'm going to do the same thing that I've always done. Yes, you can do that. But as we showed how that the city of Jericho had failed and God's grace had run out, God's grace is going to run out one of these days. It's up to you this morning. There may be a young person here that just needs to come and ask God to forgive them. They want to say, yes, Lord, I want you as my personal Savior. You may have been an older person, been in church all of your life, and you just don't know whether or not if God truly saved you. You know, I remember back when I was a kid, a lot of times I doubted my salvation a lot of times. The devil caused you to do that. But, you know, I've got down on my knees, and I settled it once and for all. Now, I don't have to doubt anything anymore. But I want you to know before you leave this place this morning, there was a man that always, something that he said that stuck with me. He says, I know that I know that I know that I know that my name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you really, truly know this morning? And if you do not know, don't let this be the day that will escape you, but you come and we will pray with you. And we'll show you the plan of salvation and ask God to come into your heart and your life this morning, just like Rahab the harlot. At this time, we'll just go ahead and ask Tom to come and give you a verse of invitation. It's up to you this morning. How will you act on the Word of God?
Stand together as we sing. Come and sin oppressed, there's mercy.